Then in the same thing in the in this verse we are discussing, those who are free from anger and all material desires, who are self-realized, self-disciplined, and constantly endeavoring for perfection, are assured of liberation supreme in the very near future. So, Prabhupada is talking about Krishna is talking about, and Prabhupada is explaining about how all of us are so much conditioned with our desires. We have so many material desires. They're very deep rooted, and Prabhupada is saying that even the great sages. Very well, Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Even the great sages have difficulty controlling anger, lust, and anger. Vishwamitra Muni, Durvasa Muni, these are highly elevated sages. And Durvasa Muni has the capacity, I mean, he goes around the entire universe. I mean, he goes, visits Lord Brahma and the demigods and even Lord Vishnu, like we visit our friends here, you know. And he's famous for his anger. And Vishwamitra Muni, again a great sage. Vishwamitra Muni used to be a king, Kshatriya. And how many of you know the story of Vishwamitra? He comes up in Ramayana quite a bit. Lord Ram went to help him when he was performing his fire sacrifices. He came to Ayodhya, asked the father of Ram, Dashrath, that I need your sons to complete my fire sacrifice. Now, Vishwamitra had a lot of power. He could have killed the demons also. But why did he not do it? Why did he come to ask for help? Any guesses? Because as a sage, as someone who's doing fire sacrifice, one of the conditions for the fire sacrifices to be complete and give the results is the person who's performing the sacrifice cannot be angry, cannot kill someone. He has to have tolerance and so he said, these demons are coming and they're destroying my fire sacrifice and I cannot kill them. I cannot be angry at them. So I need help. So I want your princes, I want your sons, and you come out and I can do that. So as we know, King Dashrath agreed after some time. Vishwamitra, he was Kshatriya, a king, and he wanted to become a Brahmin, like Vashisht. He had a competition with Vashisht Muni. Vashisht Muni is the guru and the priest also, guru for the whole of dynasty of Lord Ram. And as it so happens, Vashisht in his ashram was living very happily. And at one time when Vishwamitra was the king, there was a big famine in his kingdom. And so Vishwamitra was looking for help. And he ended up after one of his walks into the forest, he ended up in the ashram of Vashishtha Muni. And he came there, Vasishtha Muni welcomed him as a king of the whole province. And he entertained Vishwamitra and his troops. He had come with all his troops. And the whole kingdom had a famine. But when he came to Vasishtha Muni's ashram, Vasishtha Muni gave them a big feast. You know, hundreds of items and milk and yogurt and served very nicely. And Vishwamitra was very surprised. Here the king doesn't have anything to eat. He was looking for food. And here in his kingdom there's someone who has all this thing. So he asked him, he said, what is the reason? How come you can do it? You do this? Well, sir, it's no problem. I have, with your mercy, I have everything. And he didn't say much. And so Vishwamitra was curious. He said, you know, he's not telling everything. He's hiding something from me. So he asked one of his spies, soldiers, you go around the ashram, the community, and see what's going on. And the spies went in, they found, oh, lo and behold, there's a cow in the ashram. And whenever something is needed, the Vasishtha Muni himself or one of his, you know, servants or brahmacharis or whoever they employ, goes there and will pray to the cow, and the cow gives them that. And Vishwamitra was, oh, so that's so he. So Vasishtha was, he was leaving. And so it's very customary when somebody's leaving, Vasishtha Muni bid him goodbye and said, is there anything else I can do for you, king? Everything belongs to you. You know, it's very customary to ask, you know, if there's anything else that can be done. And Vasishtha said, yes, one more thing since you asked this. And I would like to have that cow that you have in your ashram. And Vasishtha says, you know, please, you ask for anything else, but I cannot give you the cow. And Vasishtha said, no, that's what I want. I am the king. Everything belongs to me anyway. You have to give me. And Vasishtha says, no, I cannot. I would give you anything else. You're right. But this cow is in my protection. She especially came from my protection. Since she's in my protection, I cannot do that. So there's a conflict of two principles. And then Vishwamitra got angry and he asked his soldiers to fight. He said, take this rascal Muni into jail, this and that. So everyone was terrified, and then Vasishtha Muni went to... This cow happens to be Surabhi, one of the celestial, you know, cows that Krishna has. So he prayed to her, and all of a sudden he started to milk, and as he was the milk, all the soldiers came out. And they just whipped the Vishwamitra and his army away. And then Vishwamitra was very upset. And then he called his priest and all that, and he said, you should do sacrifice. He said, this is brahminical power. The U.S. Kshatriya cannot do anything. You have to become a Brahmin. She said, okay, I will become a Brahmin. So how? So you have to do sacrifices, fire sacrifices. She said, okay. So, I mean, he was more of passions, almost like Dhruv Maharaj. You know, Kshatriya, I want to have the kingdom, Dhruv Maharaj, right? So he went I'll try to make this short. You know, this is the story. Vishwamitra kept on doing sacrifice after sacrifices. And every time, see, one time his sacrifice was failed because what happened? One of the celestial damsels, was Ramba or Menaka. She came down because Indra got very scared that if Vishwamitra becomes, you know, takes all this power through his sacrifices, then he will be dethroned. So, you know, she came, and Vishwamitra, there was lust, sexual desire, and he lost all the effects of his 10,000 years of meditation and sacrifice, so on and so forth. Then he started to do it again, and now all the demons were coming to destroy him. And he keeps on doing it, and the funny thing is, he is making progress, but it took him several sacrifices, several periods of meditation, and he kept on moving up in the Brahminical scale. There are so many steps in being a Brahmin. But it was very difficult for him to control anger. He did that, and the last step was humility. So he finally got everything done, he controlled everything, and then Lord Brahma came. He said, "What do you want?" He said, "I want to become a Brahm Rishi like Vasishtha." And Brahma said, "Sorry, you cannot become one of those until you go and ask for forgiveness from Vasishtha Muni." And Vishwamitra had to think a lot. He said, "I'm not sure if I want to do that." But then his urge again came. Okay, so he finally went to Vasishtha Muni and asked for forgiveness. Now Vasishtha Muni, being a real saint, he immediately forgave him. Because in the process of all this thing, when they had this war, Vishwamitra killed all the sons of Vasishtha. So can you imagine forgiving someone who has killed your entire family? So as Prabhupada is saying is that here is saying that the this conditioning is so deep rooted in us. The attachment for family, this forgiveness, having no anger, is so deep rooted that even the sages who have done so much sacrifices, so much self-control, that even they have difficulty. So what to speak of us? However, Krishna says in many places, go to chapter 16, if you could, for a minute. Since all of you have the Gitas, chapter 16, text 4. I believe text 4 or 5, let's see. Yeah, text 4, chapter 16, text 4. Pride, arrogance, conceit, anger, harshness, and ignorance, these qualities belong to those of demoniac nature, O son of Pratha. What's interesting in the purport, what does Prabhupada say? In this verse, the royal road to hell is described. So Prabhupada has told us how to go back to Godhead, right? Somebody says, "Well, if I don't want to go to back to Godhead, if I want to go to hell, what does the look like?" So it's here. if you want to go to hell, the road to hell, somebody could be joking or be nasty, say, "Well, I am." In fact, in one of the classes, somebody came in, a stranger, and you know how Prabhupada talks about, you don't want to be a dog or a hog. He actually raised and said, "There's nothing wrong in being a dog. I want to be a dog." What do you say to that? I said, "Fine. You be a dog and then you go out in the street and you get killed by a car, crushed by a car." So there are people like that. Nothing wrong being a dog. Actually, in America it's not bad. I mean, even the dogs go into cars. we have a Congress member. She's trying to become one. And she's very well-to-do off. I think she divorced or something, her husband is not there, but she has a home, 3-bedroom home. She has 1 bedroom. Guess what? Who lives in the other 2 bedrooms? She's got 2 dogs. And they're very small dogs, poodles. They're not big ones too. And each one has their own room. So this is lust. This is like, these are desires. You're attached to dogs. What will happen? What's the ultimate thing wrong about being attached to a dog? What does Krishna say in chapter 8? Antakala Samamishu, that whatever you're thinking at the time of death, that state you will attain. So just imagine this person. Got a home with two dogs. There's no one else. And then she has a dog sitter. And every day she goes to work. And this dog sitter comes in, orders, and she comes in. Every day at about noontime, she will take the dogs out from the home, takes them around and puts them back in the house. And she pays it very nicely. And so now we think, so if and when this person dies and she does not become Krishna conscious and all that stuff, who is she going to think about at the time of death? Dogs, right? Or two dogs. That's our tendency. At the time of death, we have the story of Ajamil. He was dying and he thought of his favorite son. Now, luckily his favorite son's name was Narayan. So he was shouting Narayan, Narayan. So he took the name of Krishna, and therefore Krishna came. He says, he's taking my name. Krishna is very liberal. But in this case, she's going to remember her two poodles. What happens in next life, she becomes a poodle. Now, is that the state we want? But again, so here Prabhupada, in Krishna saying chapter 16, and he says elsewhere also in chapter 2, he says that, in chapter 4, that lust, anger, greed, these three, four things have to totally get away from our system. See, lust is desires. Lust does not necessarily mean sex. You know, lust means an overwhelming desire for something. So politicians, they're lusting for power or fame. You can name someone, people lust for money. I want money. There was a person by the name of Nelson Hunt in my days, and at one time he controlled 3/4 of all the silver in the world. France, can you imagine that? But in the end, his lust got him. He made one wrong move and he lost everything. So he was lusting for silver. You think with all the money he had, he would lust for women and all that stuff? No, he just had lust. I want to control the entire supply of silver of the world. So we have all these deep-rooted desires, and it overwhelms them. It's like we know the story of the Midas, right? Midas touch. He was a Greek king, right? Somewhere in Europe, Midas, and he loved gold. So when God came or some angel, demigod, he said, "What do you want?" He said, "Well, I want to that whatever I touch becomes gold." He said, "Now I finally have the solution, right?" And how long did it work? For 2 days. Why? Because first he started touching everything and building and the stones were all gold. Finally he got hungry. Right? So he touched his food, the first piece of bread. What happened? Became gold. Couldn't eat it. They went for a glass of water. The water turned gold. So he died. And so Krishna is saying, what happens, we have lust leans, we have a desire, an overwhelming desire. Okay? If it does not get fulfilled, I mean, what is anger? Let me ask you this. Mark, what is anger? There you go. It's frustration from not having your desire. And what is greed? So you have lust, and if you make a flow diagram, there's anger here and greed this side. If your desire is fulfilled, then you have greed. Oh, I want more. It's Midas. He was a king. He had gold. He wanted more. And then when greed, and once you have greed, then what happens? then you become proud. And once you become proud, then what happens? You lose your intelligence. And I think Krishna says this in chapter 2, text 66 or something. And it's a very nice flow diagram. If some of you are in computers or process, you know, lust, you go anger this way, greed this way, greed over here, you become proud and you fall down. And now, then you become angry. And what does anger lead to? Hatred or envy. He has it and I don't. I become angry and I'm ready to kill him. Envy is, I don't have it, he won't have it either. People do that. So in both cases, when you do this, at the end they both meet. And what happens? You fall down. Because we lose our intelligence. Intelligence that there's someone else, Krishna, who's in total control. That's what we should do. So lust, anger and greed and pride and arrogance, what Krishna says in chapter 16, I mean he repeats it many times, that leads to the road to hell. And road to liberation, he's saying here, I've lost my place here, he's saying here, that those who are free from anger and all material desires, they are self-realized, self-disciplined, and they will get liberation. Now, what is the big problem here? Prabhupada says elsewhere that only a stone does not have a desire. Krishna is saying you should not have desire. But then Prabhupada says, by definition, every living entity, no matter if it's a mosquito or a human being, they have desires. So how do you... And he said, only if you are dead, like a stone, then you don't have desire. So what do you do? What is the solution? No. Yeah, yes. But still you have desires. Krishna is saying you should be desireless. Huh? Yes. What you're saying is, Guru says, yes, but then what we have to do, what Krishna is saying is that Krishna is the master of senses, Hrishikesha, that we turn, not, we have to desire, so we say, what is Krishna's desire? And we do that. It's not become desireless. That's what the Buddhist, and that's what Prabhupada says at the very end, they want to do desireless, and they turn into zero. Nirvana is criticized because that's not what we want to. And so, to do that, we have to fulfill that, and the smart sages have told us, the devotees have told us, that then what you do is you say, okay, yeah, I want to eat. That is a desire, and that is a very necessary desire. If you don't eat, we'll die. And so, that's a catch-22. And so, they say, well, let me find out what Krishna wants to eat. I'll cook that, and then I'll eat what remains. So, that is a training we have to have. Eventually, we have some pujaris over here. Krishna speaks to them. Oh, today I think I want this. And lo and behold, when you go in the kitchen, you know, the cook's meal, I'm sure you've had that experience. I know. You know, that's what happens. You start to dovetail your desires and Krishna's desires. This whole process of Krishna consciousness is that. Prabhupada said, that is Krishna consciousness, to know what Krishna wants. Not what I want, that's my consciousness. That's Anantrupa's consciousness. No, what Krishna wants, what Gopinath wants, that is the Krishna consciousness process. And so, Prabhupada is saying, and Tathagata Krishna is saying, those who are free from all anger, desire, material desires, who are self-realized, self-disciplined, and constantly endeavoring for perfection. Perfection is what? To know what Krishna wants. There's one more basic thing, which I sort of should have brought earlier. we can also become anger-free when anger is a property of the body, not of the spirit. See, because the needs are based on the body platform. I want... like Prabhupada said, like this, Prabhupada gives an example. He gave a lecture. He says, somebody comes to you, right? And you come to me and say, Prabhu, you are a dog. Suppose I tell you that, you're Govinda, right? And say, you're a dog. What's the first reaction you have? Now you're a devotee, but just imagine when you're not a devotee. What would be the first reaction? You go and get up and said, how dare you call me a dog, right? And Prabhu says, that means we have a body consciousness. Because if you are totally self-realized, then you say, it doesn't matter I'm a dog or I'm a king, I'm a soul. So he says, all these anger and greed and envy, they're all based on the bodily platform. He said, and therefore you see Jad Bharat in the Bhagavan class, right? The kids were coming in, children, and they were spitting on him. They were urinating on him. He said, I'm not the body. We become angry, we become lusty, because it's based on the body. So the more we become Krishna conscious, the more we become that we are spiritual, then it won't matter. There's no reason to be angry. You see? You can try it out. You come and you start criticizing India, I start getting mad, because I am still thinking I'm Indian body. And I start explaining, no. But if I become... And therefore you see the difference of Prabhupada. It didn't matter where he was, England, India, he was always saying, all material countries and their problems, we have to go to Vaikuntha. So all these things are based on the bodily platform. So the more we become self-realized, we become realize that myself is a soul, it's not the body. Self-discipline, the control of the mind. Constantly endeavoring for perfection. Endeavoring for perfection means my constitutional position my constitutional position is I'm the servant of the of Radharani. When we have that consciousness, then Prabhupada says, then you're liberated right here. You don't have to go to Vaikuntha. Liberation is assured. A question always comes up, Krishna conscious people, we are the only ones who said that you can be liberated in this lifetime. Generally say, well, to be liberated, then you have to get rid of this body. So which means you have to take at least one more birth. And Rupa Goswami will say, oh, you can be liberated right in this body. Because as soon as you start thinking like this, even this body becomes spiritual. And so... So that's the... we should end here. Prabhupada says, in the end, I'll read the Prabhupada again, the very last few sentences. Similarly, the devotee in Krishna consciousness, although far away from Lord's abode, that's what Rupa Goswami says, he's sitting right here, we can become liberated. By constantly thinking of Krishna, by engaging Krishna consciousness, he does not feel the pangs of material desires. This state is called Brahma Nirvana. And now Prabhupada defines that, because Nirvana, it means the absence of material miseries. But Prabhupada adds this other phrase to it, Brahma Nirvana, or the absence of material miseries due to being constantly immersed in the Supreme. What the Buddhists don't believe in is the constant immersion to the Supreme. All they're saying, you become Nirvana, you become zero, you become desireless. But this, our process, our philosophy, Krishna says, no, there's a step beyond Nirvana. Nirvana means we cease our material existence, but we do not cease our spiritual existence. And the spiritual existence is to serve Krishna. So I'll add that over here and stop here. Any questions, comments, last? Yes? Go ahead. When the doubt comes, that's why you have the guru. There's this good question, you may be hallucinating. Many people tells, oh, I saw Krishna in dreams. And he was telling me to kill Mark. Maybe, I mean, yeah, Krishna has done that. He told Abraham to go take his first son and up on the hill and sacrifice him. It's possible, but I don't know. I mean, you know. So then you have to check it out by Guru, Shastra, right, and other Vaishnavas. You have the process. Okay. Anything else? Yes. No. The dog does not have to perform austerities. Then you go through the evolution cycle. So from dog, he becomes whatever is the next step, you know, hog or tiger, and then cow, I mean monkey, cow, like that. In the previous life, I'll tell you what, you laugh at this. There were temple presidents. Like, there's actually a story in Ramayana. Now, we don't have time for that. But the politicians, they become dogs. Because what do dogs do? They bark and they just, you know, they go around. I mean, they're also a loyal friend. Yeah, that side, but when you think about it. So the scriptures say the politicians become either dogs or chameleons. They change color. It is King Nriga. Both the stories are in Ramayana. King Nriga, that and Krishna finally gave him liberation when he pulled the lizard out. But he became a lizard because, as you know, the story. He promised the same cow to Brahmins and to someone else, and it's a long story. And so they say, "Oh, you're a chameleon. You're changing color. So I curse you. So you become that." So when you see a lizard in the forest, you can think he was some politician. Or a dog is like that, same thing. But there's the actual story that on this one dog. Can I say the story, or you guys want to sing? No, I'm